This is the Sunday Worship Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Good Friday Worship here on Salvationist Radio. My name is Sam Davidson, and it's great to join with you today. Our speaker today is Chief Secretary Colonel Peter Forrest, and we'll hear from him a little later on. It's very special to be with you on this significant day. At the start of this time of worship together, a day when we remember the brutal death and suffering of Jesus, let's pause and enter a solemn time of worship together. In Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross, Marlene Kropf writes this: on this day we gather to remember Jesus, our Saviour, who loved us and gave himself for us. Let us draw near in full assurance of God's endless love and mercy. We give our thanks and praise to Jesus Christ, who carries our sorrows, heals our wounds, and redeems us from sin and death. Our Bible reading is Mark chapter 15, verses 21 to 40. Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Along with the crucifixion narratives, for me, Good Friday is summed up in Paul's words to the Galatians, chapter 6, verse 14. "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Or from the Authorized Version that says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, amidst all the devastation of the Second World War, the cross on the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral in London stood erect. In the building programme of the new Coventry Cathedral, the cross was lifted up by a helicopter and fastened in place so it could be seen by all who passed by. Sir Edmund Hillary, after climbing the 29,028 feet of Mount Everest, planted a cross at the summit. And one of the best-selling pieces of jewellery still on the high street today is a cross. In a secular world and in some organisations, even the wearing of a cross can bring a disciplinary action against you that could even cost you your employment. So what does the cross signify to us today? Do we understand the depth of meaning in the cross? Paul writes to the Galatians and he says he boasted or he gloried in the cross. Why did he say that? He could have gloried in his education. He was one of the most brilliant men of his day. He could have gloried in his religion. It was difficult to find a more religious man than Saul before he became Paul. He could have gloried in his Roman citizenship. Not everyone could say they were citizens of Rome. He could have gloried in his linguistic skills. He spoke Greek, Latin, and Aramaic. Or he could have gloried in all the things that Jesus actually did. Deaf to hear, dumb to speak, blind to see. But Paul said, I glory in the cross. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, crucifixion was the most terrible of all deaths. Cicero, the famous Roman politician and philosopher, is reported as saying that the most cruel and most terrible torture of all is death by crucifixion. Matthew's Gospel tells us that Jerusalem was filled with people in a carnival mood when the soldiers entered the guardhouse and took Jesus and the two condemned men. The soldiers beat Jesus with leather thongs with metal pellets on the end and placed a crown of thorns on his head to mock him. Jesus was then made to parade through the streets with a large wooden cross on his shoulder to which he was to be nailed. The disciples remember it as a lamb led out for slaughter. The soldiers lifted the cross up between heaven and earth, and there the Son of God hung, naked and nailed to a cross, being mocked and jeered. They shouted, "Come down and show us just one more miracle. One more miracle, Jesus." Now, William Booth said about the crowd, "They would have believed in him if he'd come down that day. But we believe in him because he stayed up." The cross of Christ was indeed a cruel instrument of torture. But whilst enduring the pain of crucifixion, Jesus was able to bring to the thief a way to heaven. As the thief called to Jesus those words, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." No time to get baptized, no time to do any good works or even any discipleship classes, just a promise from the Lord that whoever calls upon his name will be saved. Catholic Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who died some years ago, said modern man seeks the promise of salvation without a cross. He wants Christ without nails. There's no pleasure without pain and no Easter without Good Friday. Another great preacher, this time from the 17th century, the Presbyterian minister Samuel Rutherford said, "Some of us would have Christ cheap, but the price will not come down." On that first Good Friday, one sinner was saved that no one need despair, but one sinner was lost that no one may presume. If Jesus had to die such a cruel and horrible death for sin, then sin must be a horrible thing and all of us are guilty. There's a flaw in human nature, and that flaw is sin. And the sin, singular, that we have inside produces sins, plural. Hate, greed, bigotry, prejudice, lust, and the list could go on. On the cross, Jesus paid the price for our sin. There are a number of words in the New Testament translated as sin. One of them means missing the target, that is, failing to live up to God's standard. The cross is that symbol of the Christian faith that reminds us that Jesus has paid the price for our sin, for my sin, for yours. Without the cross, there's no remedy for sin, no forgiveness, no salvation. His death on that cross was for me, for each one of us. The cross was for me and my sin. In the Good Friday story, Jesus is brought before various courts. He is condemned to death by both the lawyers and the Pharisees and the authorities of the time. They maintained their comfortable distance. They were not near enough to Jesus to see who he really was. Interestingly, it was the soldiers positioned at close proximity to Jesus who delivered the true verdict, Matthew 27:54, when they said, "Surely he was the Son of God." The soldiers stationed at the foot of the cross recognized Jesus for who he was, the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. And the challenge to each one of us is, where are we sitting? Are we sitting at a distance or standing at the foot of the cross? The early day Salvationists in our movement sang the chorus to the song which Fred Fry wrote, published in 1889, quite a long time ago. But perhaps for today, it is a prayer we could make. "To thy cross I come, Lord, there for me is room, Lord. Poor, unworthy me, yes, even me. Pardon every sin, Lord. Place thy power within, Lord. Then I from this hour will follow thee." Amen.
Thank you.
1 Peter 2 says, "By his stripes we are healed. By his wounds we are made whole. Go in the name of Jesus Christ and live in the salvation made possible by the goodness of this Friday." Amen. Our thanks go to Colonel Peter Forrest for bringing us today's Bible message. Make sure to tune in on Easter Day as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ with a Bible message from Colonel Julie Forrest at 11 a.m. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye, and God bless.